Take your Bibles, please, and turn to the Gospel of John. The Gospel of John, chapter 18 this morning. John chapter 18. We're going to read two verses together. That's verse 37 and 38 this morning. I'll read aloud as you read along silently. John chapter 18, verses 37 and 38 this morning. If you're able, as you're finding your place, would you please stand to your feet this morning in honor of the Word of God as we read the Word of God together. John chapter 18, and beginning at verse 37. Pilate therefore said unto him, Art thou a king then? Jesus answered, Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Every one that is of the truth heareth my voice. Pilate saith unto him, What is truth? And when he had said this, he went out again into the Jews and saith unto them, I find in him no fault at all. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the Word of God, and thank you for what Jesus went through for us. I pray today that you would bless us and help us for being here. But God, to really be blessed and really be helped, we've got to hear what you have to say to us individually today from the preaching of the Word of God. Now use this time, please, to help us. Father, I pray for our pastor that you'd anoint him with thy Holy Spirit power as he comes and preaches to us today. And Father, again, as I finish my prayer, if there's someone here today on the internet or in this room that does not know Jesus as their Savior, I pray they would trust him and accept him today. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. You may be seated.
You know what the problem with churches is today, don't you? People. If we just didn't have people in churches, we'd have no problems. Then it would be kind of boring preaching to chairs. Have you ever heard somebody say, well, I don't go to church because there's hypocrites in church? My answer is always the same. I've kind of come up with a couple of new ones. The other day I said, yeah, we're running kind of low. Why don't you come down and help us? It's always fascinating to me. It's always fascinating to me. People say, well, I don't go to church because see, something happened to me at church once. Now look at me. And nothing ever happened to you at a grocery store or a gas station or anywhere else in your life. Anybody, seriously, you ever been around one of these rude drivers, cuts people off, everything else? How many ever been there? Okay. How many quit driving because of it? Fascinating. You see, look at me. That's such hypocrisy. Anything that has people in it is going to have problems. I'm sorry. That's just how it is. So for some of you this morning, you need this announcement. Get over it. Mahatma Gandhi became one of the great leaders of India. And when he was a young man, Gandhi was exposed to Christianity. And people witnessed to him, tried to lead him to Christ. He refused and wouldn't embrace it. And later they asked him, why is it you never became a Christian? And Gandhi's answer was, I would not become a Christian because of Christians. And he dismissed Christ because of Christians. Now, folks, look. It sounds like we've got good ground when we say, well, I don't go to church because, see, I had a problem in church once. Well, my dad was a Baptist preacher and ran off with one of the women in the church, and my mother turned to drink and became a drunkard, and I grew up in a drunkard's home because of a preacher who failed. And I used that for a lot of years. Sounded good. Had a lot of backup on that. In Gospel of John here, chapter 18, Jesus is standing in front of Pilate, and he's being examined right before he's to be crucified. Greatest travesty of justice on the planet. with the seven different trials Jesus went through in less than 12 hours, was declared innocent but guilty at every one of them. Now think about that for a moment. And one of his examinations of trial was here with Pilate, the governor. And after Jesus, Pilate asked him a few questions, and Pilate and Jesus answered a few questions. I want you to notice the statement, please, in John chapter 18 there, if you would, and begin at verse 38. Pilate saith unto him, what is truth? And when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews that had brought Jesus in for this trial. And Pilate saith unto them, I find in him no fault at all. We live in a society of flawed people, agreed? Okay, maybe you know all perfect people. I said we live in a society of flawed people. We have leadership that's flawed. We have people who want to be leaders who are flawed. We have people in our homes that are flawed. One more time. Anywhere you have people who have faults. They're not what they ought to be. And if you don't know anybody, go home and look in the mirror. You'll find one right off the bat. Okay? Are we good with that? So in this day, I would like to stand up and say, but I find in him, Jesus. I find in him, the Lord Jesus Christ. I find in him no fault at all either. See, that's what helped me with my preacher dad who made his mistakes and altered the course and path of our lives. I held it against God. I even got mad at God about it. For all my teenage years and the 4 years I was in the military, at the end of those teenage years, I was one mad young man. I got out of the service early because I got in a fight one night in a bar. I'll just take my shoes off. Got in a fight in a bar one night where they're carrying people out on stretchers because I was a hostile, angry guy who had stuff, issues with God and issues with people and everything else in my life. And I stayed away from God and church, even though I was raised in church as a boy, because I held that again. Well, look, you know, your dad's a preacher and he runs off with some woman. I mean, come on. What does that say about God and church and the Bible and Jesus and everything else? Now, you listen to me this morning. But I find in him no fault at all. If you and I got to know each other personally, we got to know each other better, I guarantee you would find out I have flaws and you have flaws, and that we all have faults. Would that not be true? Okay, but what we need to do this morning to lift up our skepticism and to remove our doubts about everything else is we need to just stop and remind ourselves, but in the Lord Jesus Christ, there is no fault at all in him. And we got to keep that right in our minds. We got to keep that straight in our thinking. We got to keep that right in our living. So don't hold it against him because some of his people don't do what they're supposed to do. Because if you care to check it, you don't either. Now do you, Spanky? Huh? You say you're a Christian, you always live like a Christian, you always act like a Christian. You always talk like a Christian. You always act like one. If I was to follow you around 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, I guarantee I would see no flaw in you at all. Huh? No, I wouldn't. I would too, because I'd find out you got feet of clay, just like we all have feet of clay. But I find in him no fault at all. So this morning's message is just kind of a reset button to kind of touch that reset button that reminds us, ladies and gentlemen, that the most important thing and person in our life ought to be the Lord Jesus Christ. And we can always find in him no fault at all. Always. I find in him no fault at all as to who he is. He's the Son of God and God the Son. Jesus Christ existed before he came into Bethlehem's manger there and was in Mary's womb and was born in the manger. All of that, before all of that, he existed as God the Son. There's God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit. And they're three separate persons, yet one God. And Jesus is one member of that triune God this morning. He is God the Son. He fled the portals of heaven to the crimson womb of Mary and was placed miraculously by a virgin conception in the womb of Mary, not a Roman soldier, not an immoral woman, a godly woman, a holy woman, a perfect woman, in the sense that she was pure, and God miraculously placed the seed of his son in the womb of Mary. And he was born of a virgin, and he walked this earth, tempted in all points like as we are, yet the Bible says without sin. And Jesus Christ was even tempted personally by the devil and resisted that temptation all three times by standing on the word of God. And then after all the sinless life of our Savior, He was willing to give Himself and go to the cross and die on the cross for our sins and dip His soul into death and hell and rose from the grave 3 days and three nights later, just like He said He would. And that's who He is, ladies and gentlemen. And by the way, that wasn't the end of His ministry. Then Jesus ascended back to heaven after being seen by many on this earth. He ascended back to heaven, and to this very moment of day, He ever liveth to make intercession for us. He's your high priest, your go-between, your God, ladies and gentlemen. The God the Father and God the Son, your high priest is the Lord Jesus Christ. And today, the Bible said there's one mediator between God and man. It's the man Christ Jesus. We don't have to go to somebody and talk to them and confess our sins and get someone to pray in our place. We can go straight to God. If you belong to Him, it's because you belong to God, because you belong to Jesus. And He is your daysman and your go-between. I find in Him no fault at all as to who He is. You say, well, Pastor Johnson, see, I believe all that kind of stuff, but see, here's my problem. No, your problem is you've taken your eyes off of Him. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of God. Our Savior, ladies and gentlemen, is our Savior this morning. Is He yours? Do you know Him? Have you trusted Him as your personal Savior? Well, forget all the junk about religion and church and everything else for a moment. Forget all the mistakes you've seen and all the flaws and failures you've seen. Forget all of that. Let me ask you one very important question. Do you find in Jesus Christ no fault as to being your personal Savior? Because I guarantee you this, friend, He knows everything about you and He's still willing to be your Savior. See, He's God. He's God the Son. So now in heaven, Jesus Christ is omniscient. He knows everything. He knows all about what you have thought. He knows all about what you have said. He knows all about what you have done. He knows what you've done that no one else ever saw. He knows it all. And yet He is still here today to seek and to save that which was lost. What a wonderful Savior. What an amazing Savior. Oh, I find in Him no fault at all. Somebody messes with us. Somebody just says something we don't like. Someone unfriends us on their Facebook page, which today I think is near death penalty now. Someone doesn't want to Twitter you. That still sounds creepy to me. Some guy asked me the other day, "You Twitter, Brother Johnson?" I said, "What in the world is that? Sound like a parakeet needs a hormone check. I mean, what's a Twitter?" No, oh no. Someone doesn't say everything you think, do everything you do, and you write them off just like that. Jesus knows everything about you, and He hasn't written you off yet. You know, it's amazing when you stop to think about who He is. I find in Him no fault at all. See, your problem is this, folks. You put too much emphasis on people and who they are or who they are not, what they do or what they don't do. And because of that, you think your life is skeptical, and you have this jaded view about life. See, so you just think everybody's wonderful. No, I didn't say that. This world is full of jerks. There's a lot of them out there. Got to get an amen on that. Amen. Okay, well, you said that amen better than Jesus, the Son of God. That's pretty bad. You know, maybe we better think about this for just a moment. Hey, excuse me. But there are people out there, as my Okie people would say, if they caught on fire, they wouldn't be worth spitting on to put out. But that hasn't ruined my life. Because look here, no matter who's out there or no matter what happens. And by the way, there are a bunch of good people out there too, by the way. No matter how much the failure is on the horizontal plane, there is one in whom is no fault at all. I have no fault as to who Jesus is. I have no fault as to what Jesus did. Now let's grasp this morning. I said He walked this earth sinlessly and purely. Was tempted in all points like as we are, but without sin. And to some today, you see, there are many today who want to make Jesus just like any other religious type leader, like a Muhammad or a Buddha or somebody like this. They just want to put them all in the same category, because since Jesus was like a man to our understanding and was a man but still God, they have a hard time grasping the concept that this perfect man never sinned one time in his life. said, this doesn't make any sense. How could that be possible? Well, it's only happened once, and it was a miracle. Just like his birth is a miracle, his life was a miracle. And Jesus Christ walked this earth, ladies and gentlemen, and was tempted in all points like as we are, but he never sinned one time. Never had a wrong thought, never said a wrong thing. Feet never on a path they should not have been. That's Jesus Christ. And you know what he did when he was here, ladies and gentlemen? He was amazing in his accomplishment. And in my Sunday school class this morning, we talked about his work and how he accomplished so much with his life in 3.5 years of earthly ministry. Because he gave himself to people. He came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. He's amazing. He never, you say, well, that's because Jesus was always this kind and compassionate person. He was always kind and he was always compassionate. But he also cleaned the temple out twice. And he didn't go into the temple and say, okay, now let's get all the sheep over here and all the goats over here and let's line this thing up, people. You're messing with the ambiance. No, that's not what he did. He jerked the cord off the curtain of the temple, swatted those animals, kicked the tables over, and cleared the place out. And I think he did it in a very, what you would call, vociferous manner. What does that mean? He yelled and screamed at people. Yeah, that's right. Hey, now Jesus wasn't some limp wrist. Now, he's a man. He came in, he stood up, he did what he was supposed to do. I wish we could understand this. Our Savior, our wonderful, precious Lord Jesus, who had the compassion to take a child unto him, could stop at a funeral and show compassion and interrupt it like nobody else could, raising people from the dead and things like that. I love the way Jesus interrupted funerals. He had a great way of interrupting funerals. Bring them back, give them back to their people. That's good. By the way, not too good for the person who had to come back. Because once you're over, you don't want to come back. You want to go over, you want to stay over, you don't want to come back. But he did it. Oh, my goodness. He walked on water. He fed multitudes. Here's the wonderful Lord Jesus Christ, ladies and gentlemen, who was everything the Bible says he was. Everything. And I find in him no fault at all in what he did. None. He could offer forgiveness, but then say, go and sin no more. I find in him no fault at all, not only what he did, but what he said. Your Bible, ladies and gentlemen, your Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John Gospels in your Bible, pretty detailed explanation of Christ's statements, what he said. I have people sometimes will say, well, Pastor Johnson, here's what you said. And I think to myself, I know sometimes I say things that probably shouldn't be said. But you can blame the Lord because I always ask him to help me to say the right thing. So sometimes I go home, my wife will say, honey, do you know what you said? And I go, what? And she'll tell me. Sometimes I'll pull one of the tapes or something. We don't use tapes, but CDs. I'll pull one and say, did I really say that? And sure enough, I did. Oh, my. We have a detailed record of what Jesus said. It's not complete. But it's pretty detailed, and I find no fault in what Jesus said. See, there are some today who want to paint Jesus in a certain light. Well, here's what they say. This is the Jesus I believe in. Well, why don't you believe in the Jesus the Bible tells you who he is, and then you'll know him fully and completely. Oh, he was into truth. Yes, he was. And forgiveness. He was compassionate. But he had strong convictions. Jesus preached 14 sermons on life after death. 14. 13 of them were about hell itself. No one preached on hell with fire and eternal torment any better or any more clearly than the Lord Jesus Christ. Same one. I have no problem with his words. When he said the Beatitudes, Matthew 5, 6, and 7, when he said if we were poor in spirit, we'd inherit the kingdom of God. He gave us all this encouragement and comfort. We mourn, we'll be comforted and stuff. It's a wonderful statement. Same Jesus said, if you look at a woman and you lust after her, you committed adultery already with her in your heart. By the way, Jesus always intensified the law. He never slackened it up. See, I don't have a problem with what he said. Do you know what he said? Have you ever gone through the Gospels? And if you got, like I do, I have one of these Bibles in red where the words of Christ are in red. You ever gone through these? Here, you ever go through those and go, well, this is what he said. He covered a lot of subjects. He was the master teacher, master. Can anybody touch him? No way. He could be clear and distinct. And then sometimes he'd couch his terms in parables for those who are willing to come and ask and seek the truth. I don't have any problem with what Jesus said because I find in him no fault at all. See, you, and I even hate to get close to an analogy. He is nothing like me. I say things I know I shouldn't say. And my mind even says, don't let that out of your mouth. And then I usually say it anyhow. But which the Bible says a fool speaketh all his mind, and that's what you got for a pastor this morning. You got a fool. No question. Now the point, what did you say? I made a vow. I'm not going to pick on Brother Evans anymore for the next 5 minutes. Now here's the thing. But we do. But Jesus, everything came from the lips of the Lord Jesus Christ. There was no sin. So if he rebuked, that was right. If he comforted, that was good too. Please don't choose one over the other. Accept who Jesus is from the Bible. And you know what you'll find? You'll find in him no fault at all. None whatsoever. And anything Jesus ever said. He made his promises, you know. He said, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. He said, I go there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am there, you may be also. We've been waiting on that promise for 2,000 years. Today would be a good day. November 8th would be a better one. But whatever, look at me. He's made us many promises. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, Jesus said, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. He promised to harness up with us and go through life with him in one side of that yoke of life and us in the other side. He promised us that. Well, I found that to be true, haven't you? Oh, I find no fault in him in what he said. And I find no fault in him in what he's going to do. Now, folks, look here. Jesus Christ is coming again. And he's not going to ask anybody's permission. He's just going to come again. And when he comes again, he's going to set his foot down on this earth. And when he returns to the earth, now he's going to come for us first. He's going to come, first of all, he came to his own. Then he's going to come for his own. That's when we're caught up to meet him in the air. Then after that 7-year period of time, he's coming back with his own. And he's going to set his foot down on this earth. Nobody's going to fix the Middle East like Jesus is going to fix the Middle East. Nobody's going to solve the ISIS problem like Jesus is going to solve the ISIS problem. Nobody's going to settle the world's problems like Jesus is going to settle the world's problems. Because when he comes back and he breaks the eastern sky and that right riding the white horse with that multitude of those behind him or his children. Yeah, that's right. When he comes back, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. He's not stopping at the United Nations for permission. He's not looking for a world approval. He's not running for office. He's taking it. When he comes back, he establishes his rule and reign on this earth. And for 1,000 years, this world is guided and judged and corrected and taught by the living Word of God, Jesus, and the written Word of God, that book you hold in your hand. And he said that's what he would do. So whenever you get a feeling like, man, it seems like the world is just spinning out of its course, well, it looks like it. Doesn't take rocket science to figure out some things just don't make sense that happen in the world in which we live today. Ah, but there is coming a day when no heartache shall come. No tears will dim our eyes. No, nothing like that. There's that day coming. Because Jesus said he'd do that. And then when he comes back, hey, listen, then he becomes the judge of all mankind. He with nail prints in his hands and feet and thorn scars on his brow. Every human being will at some point stand in front of Jesus Christ for judgment. John chapter 12, God said that he had committed all judgment unto his Son. And Jesus will be the judge. And he who knows everything about us we will each of us at our appointed place have a time to stand before Jesus Christ for judgment. One of those judgments, he sends them to hell. Another of those judgments, he gives them their rewards that they'll have in eternity. Other judgments, he'll separate nations and he'll deal with his children, Israel. They're distinct and different judgments at different places, but Jesus Christ is the judge at all of them. Well, you hear people say, yeah, but we're not supposed to judge. Well, I'll tell you what, ladies and gentlemen, Jesus is going to be the judge, and it'll be just, it'll be fair, it'll be honest, and it'll be right, and he'll make it all right. So don't ever get all upset because the justice of man fails. Don't ever get all drawn up because you feel like, well, there's just no justice in this world today. Well, probably true in some cases. Oh, but there is coming a day when there will be pure justice. And he's going to settle all matters and settle all deals. Now listen to me carefully. And when the day comes, you and I, ladies and gentlemen, are not going to stand there and gloat at somebody who gets the harsh judgment of God. You're not going to be glad anyone winds up in hell. I'm sorry. There are people today whose life and their actions and the way they prey on the innocent and what they do, they seemingly deserve their place in hell. But even in that moment, you'll have a concept, a pure understanding that the eternal place of hell is forever. And our responsibility in this life is to tell them of Christ and salvation so they won't go there. But the truth of the matter is, our loving, wonderful, compassionate, loving Savior will send people to hell forever. Read it. It's Mark chapter 9. It's Matthew chapter 24 and 25. Jesus will do that. And the same amazing Savior will welcome others into heaven. Do we get to see him first? You think, Miss Jan, you think your mama saw Jesus first when she passed over recently? I hope so. That's the face I'd like to see first. I'd like to see him first. I would. I got a lot of loved ones over there. Got some grandchildren over there. I'd still like to see him first. You mean, so you'll know he's really there? Oh, he's there. He's there. I'd just like to see him first. That's all. I don't know how you can spend all eternity with the Lord Jesus Christ and each of us have time with him. I don't know how it works, but I know something. He's promised us that he said, where there I am, there ye shall be also. And we'll get to see him. And you know, ladies and gentlemen, I'll tell you something. I don't think anyone's going to come up to the Lord Jesus Christ, who, by the way, will be the only one in heaven with scars in his hands, his feet, and those thorn scars on his brow, to remind us for eternity we're there because of him. No one's going to heaven holding up their baptismal certificate. No one's going to go to heaven and point at their priest or their preacher or their church and say they got them there. There will be one reason: worthy is the Lamb that was slain from the foundation of this world. And there he'll be. And we'll find no fault in him. And it won't be because we're in heaven. It's because right now in this life, though people have failed us, Jesus never fails. Though institutions will let us down, Jesus never fails. And yes, we can say it now and we'll say it for eternity. I find in him no fault at all. Let's stand our feet, please, this morning, would you?